Okay, we are back with part two of our episode on mass shootings and how do we prevent them.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back. So the decision tree is, it's based on whether, so what happens with the risk assessment is that you look at the, you interview everyone after a threat's made and decide whether it's transient, meaning it's just a threat made in passing, there's no real action needed, mm-hmm. it's not substantive, mm-hmm. There was no person targeted, for example. What you do is like, okay, if a kid has said something in anger, it might be something to attend to, right? Mm-hmm. So there is an mm-hmm. action for everything, but that action is not like escalating it or elevating mm-hmm. it to mm-hmm. law enforcement. So the decision tree focuses on trying to figure out what's substantive and what's not, and then only serious and very serious threats involve law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that you have a crisis intervention team, mm-hmm. and they are made up of individuals, including SROs, mental health counselors, and teachers, and they're the ones evaluating all of this. Mm-hmm. So it's not strictly an SRO or law enforcement officer making this determination. Mm-hmm. So it's important because of the connection mm-hmm. to leakage.
Okay, leakage, first of all, that sounds gross. but what does that mean, and why would a potential shooter leak?
Yeah, so I did mention leak earlier, but failed to define leakage. But leakage just means they have told someone plans to do something. Mm-hmm. They've told someone, or they've posted about it online, or they've written about it. It's leaked. The mm-hmm. information is mm-hmm. leaked. To someone.
So leakage is kind of the thing that would distinguish like a transient threat from a substantive threat?
Yes. So if a kid says, I have a gun mm-hmm. in my backpack, you should probably take that seriously.
Yeah.
I say this just mm-hmm. because we had a JMU alum who was shot by a six-year-old in Newport News.
Right.
You know that case,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. We were just talking mm-hmm. about it today. Mm-hmm. She was a teacher. And she's filed a lawsuit mm-hmm. and looking at everything that happened leading up to that and what happened that day, there mm-hmm. were multiple risk factors that were overlooked. Mm-hmm. And the kid made threats, mm-hmm. had actually mm-hmm. sexually assaulted another girl on the playground, There were lots of basically mm-hmm. warnings, mm-hmm. but with leakage, it's not just school shooters who do this, even mm-hmm. though, you know, they are more likely to do that. Even like a workplace avenger. Mm-hmm. And there's cases where, you know, for example, a husband told his wife, mm-hmm. I'm going to take a gun to work and shoot the place up, and mm-hmm. then did exactly that. So it's mm-hmm. just some indication mm-hmm. that something is going to happen.
But it kind of sounds counterintuitive. So like if you want to like successfully yes. commit a crime, why would you leak?
Right.
Why would you tell people about it beforehand?
Yeah. So again, remember that these are cries for help, that these people are in crisis. And so leakage is mm-hmm. a point of intervention. That person is in immediate need of assistance, right? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. and it should be treated that way. Like, you know, if somebody's saying that they're going to inflict violence and mm-hmm. mass violence requires immediate mm-hmm. intervention. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it also makes sense that if you are like fame driven or ideological driven, that you are, if you're looking for the attention or the fame, that you want to call people's attention to
yes.
it and say like, you know, pay attention to what's going to happen tomorrow. Something big's going to happen tomorrow.
Right. And I don't know if all of this is true yet about the Nashville shooting, but it has been stated that there was leakage to an individual via a mm-hmm. direct message on Instagram. And it said something like, you might see me on the news tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then the individual was saying to this person that they wanted to die. So the person was focused on trying to talk them mm-hmm. down from this, mm-hmm. you know, the suicidal ideation, not really acknowledging the second part of that equation. But you don't normally go there immediately, mm-hmm. right? Maybe you're thinking the person's going to die by suicide, but mm-hmm. in public. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a direct threat of a mass mm-hmm. casualty event. But those are all examples of leakage, and mm-hmm. there are places where, you know, you can intervene. Mm-hmm. So one of the studies that we do know about on thwarted school shootings mm-hmm. Were the number one reason that the shooting was stopped is because another kid told someone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the leakage is important for stopping them. Mm-hmm. And one way that you can do this is have an anonymous reporting system for staff and students, because mm-hmm. Some students were hesitant to report. And the most likely reason mm-hmm. a student reports is because they fear they're going to be implicated or they're yeah. going to be a target.
Right. So you might be afraid if, you know, somebody's going to do a mass shooting, you don't want to say something and make yourself a target for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like out of altruism. Mm-hmm. So, but you don't want to be a snitch.
Right.
So mm-hmm. having an anonymous way for students and staff to report, again, mm-hmm. You don't want to overreact.
Right. I mean, we also kind of talked about the mm-hmm. problem of like wrongly identifying mm-hmm. people. So people might yeah. be hesitant because they might be afraid to say like, well, this sounds bad, but also I don't want to get somebody in trouble if it's not real.
Yeah, that's why if you have mm-hmm. a caring approach in place, like with the threat assessment guidelines I mentioned, mm-hmm. having a crisis intervention team, it's also part of what the Violence Project recommends. A crisis intervention team, you know, they have an ethic of care, mm-hmm. so they're not going to immediately have a punitive response. So if that team is in place and a student knows it's more likely that that kid's going to get help mm-hmm. and not get punished,
yeah.
they would be more likely mm-hmm. to report.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of factors to think about there.
Right. So saying something and having systems in place where
right.
kids can report some of these major red flags, some of these major warning signs is a
yeah.
big help.
Absolutely. I do want to mention, though, before you know, we sort of get to the point where we're wrapping up here, that there's something new I wanted to mention, which is holding parents responsible for, there's a case right now, it's an Oxford shooting in Michigan where four people were killed by a 15-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents are going to be tried for involuntary manslaughter.
Hmm.
And we know from, you know, kids who become shooters that parents kind of fall into a couple of categories. Some parents are just like, chaos, right? Like they have a history of trauma and mm-hmm. then that's how mm-hmm. they end up parenting. But that's not all of them. There are some of them who kind of sense something's off or something's wrong, but mm-hmm. they don't exactly know what to do about it. And they fear notifying authorities is going to make it worse,
mm-hmm.
right? So having a way for them to be able to also get yeah. a response that's mm-hmm. caring.
Yeah, you don't want to call the police on your own child.
No, nobody wants to call the police mm-hmm. on their own child. So this situation is a little bit more unique, and we kind of, you know, we should understand it as it could be precedent setting mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. having accountability for parents. In this case, it's unique because they gave the kid the gun. So mm-hmm. There were lots of red flags, warning signs, mm-hmm. Paranoia, delusions, including the family and school were having problems. The school called the family mm-hmm. to pick him up. They wanted him to leave school one day. The parents had to go back to work, but that was happening alongside the parents who were encouraging, mm-hmm. You know, use of guns. So 4 days before the shooting,
yeah. mm-hmm.
The mother bought him the weapon and then took him to mm-hmm. a range to fire it.
Mm-hmm.
And when the kid was caught, like, looking at ammunition online in mm-hmm. school to buy, like, mm-hmm. fire, they wanted the kid to go home, and the mother sort of texted the kid and said, "I'm not mad at you, just don't get caught."
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. this case is a little bit unique.
Yeah.
A little. So it's mm-hmm. not just that they ignored the warning mm-hmm. signs. They provided the tools for the kid to commit the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens with this. They
yeah.
filed an appeal mm-hmm. and the judge overturned it and said it's going forward mm-hmm. because he understands it's precedent setting, but it's a different level of mm-hmm. culpability on the part of the parents.
Well, that will be something to keep our eye on.
That was a little side tangent.
Mm-hmm.
Anything yeah, you want to say right. about foiled shootings before we go?
No. I'm ready to wrap this thing up.
Okay.
All right, so to close our show, it's our Minute to Spin It, where we each give our 30-second takeaway from today's show. So, Timey, in just a minute, what's your spin?
Media, stop making mass shooters famous. Ben, what's your spin?
Okay, first, I'm going to say pay attention to leakage, kids. Very important. And also, political sound bites aren't helpful. There are some things that we can do to help reduce, prevent mass shootings.
True, true. This podcast is sponsored by the Gandhi Center at JMU. See the show notes for links to articles and studies discussed on the podcast. Please help us decide on what justice topics to cover by sending us suggestions or hello, just say hi. Say hi to us at gandhicenter@jmu.edu or DM on Instagram @GandhiCenterJMU. Thanks for joining us.